and welcome to another episode of Drinks Break, a conversation with the national newspaper staff writers and editors on cricket in the United Arab Emirates. It is Monday, October the 27th. I'm Chitrabhanu Kadlail for the national.ie. Pakistan shocked the cricketing world yesterday when they beat Australia by 221 runs in the first of two tests, which was played in Dubai. With me on the phone from Dubai to discuss the impact of this game on both teams ahead of the second test in Abu Dhabi is staff writer Paul Radley. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Good to be with you still, CP.
First of all, Paul, I must remind all our listeners that you and Usman Samuddin predicted correctly that the Dubai test would somehow end favourably for Pakistan, whether they win or draw the match. But did you expect them to win by such a wide margin? Also, was this down to Pakistan playing exceptionally well or Australia playing exceptionally badly?
No, obviously, it was a bit sort of against logic to even suggest that Pakistan would do well in this test match, bearing in mind the prevailing factors. But if anybody had predicted that they'd win by 221 runs, then you'd say that they were mad, really. It was down to them being pretty inspired, certainly some young players, or some inexperienced players who really wanted to grasp their chance and were fairly comfortable in the conditions. They had fantastic games. And then also, like you said, Australia were a long way short of the mark. And it was surprising to see from a side that chasing number one spot in the world, surprising to see how difficult they found it and how tough they found it to adjust mentally to what exactly they needed to do, especially bearing in mind they had a four-day game in Sharjah last week, when you'd have thought they would have ironed out all those foibles. So, it was a little bit of both, but you'd like to think it was mostly Pakistan being inspired, really, that brought about the result.
Right. We'll get to Pakistan's batting in a bit, but before that, I just want to ask you about Yasir Shah and Zulfiqar Bhabha, the two spin bowlers Pakistan had in the team. Both of them very inexperienced, as you had mentioned in your coverage. They didn't have Saeed Ajmal in there. But you know they managed to get a lot of wickets between them, and Australia's batsmen seem to be getting out to some of the straighter deliveries that they played, like Darren Lehman mentioned today. Was it a matter of the bowlers being brilliant at what they did, or was it Australia just not doing the basics well?
Yeah, but both again. I think that those two bowlers and the Pakistani bowlers in general are pretty unrelenting in these conditions. They bowl at the stumps for most of the time rather than sort of a fourth stump line or a body line, as Australian bowlers might be used to playing, the batsmen would be used to playing in their own home country. And like you said, Dan Lehman touched on it in their post-match press conference, Australia's players miss a lot of straight balls, which is always going to be a bit of a problem. That is sort of the main thing that it is testing them at the moment. It seems to be when they come to countries that are known or accepted wisdom suggests they're going to be playing on spinning pitches, it seems to be that they're going to play for pronounced spin that sometimes necessarily isn't there. And you saw a lot of players, I can think of two off the top of my head in the second innings, Doolan and Haddin, I think both got ducks, and they both played outside balls that were just coming in to hit their stumps because obviously they thought Zulfiqar Bhabha was going to turn it a long way, off the straight, which he didn't necessarily do. So that's something that they're going to have to work on when they head to Abu Dhabi. It would just change their mindset, really.
Right. You had Pakistan spin bowlers doing well, but Australia's spin bowlers flopped, didn't they? You had Nathan Lyon, who's by now a fairly experienced spin bowler, a fairly new spin bowler in Steve O'Keefe, who's played a lot of domestic cricket, but they were ineffective in these conditions, weren't they? I mean, Muthiah Muralidharan, former Sri Lanka spin bowler, the highest wicket taker in Test cricket, was roped into the side. He was asked to spend some time with the spin bowlers and sort of mentor them for this particular series. But they had very little impact on this match, didn't they?
Yeah, I think you're right. But there's a variety of factors behind that. Certainly the fact that, A, they're playing against a set of guys who are brilliant against spin and probably the premier player against spin in the world at the moment in terms of Test cricket. Yunus Khan was sublime in this Test match. Unless you're, Shane Warne or Muthiah Muralidharan bowling against him, you're probably going to struggle when he's in this sort of form, and he had a point to prove as well. But no, you're right. They also, probably to give him another excuse, didn't have the best of the conditions. Certainly in the first 2 days of the Test match, it was at its flattest. It wasn't turning too much. Batting was pretty pretty benign at that time, and they had to bowl at that point. Having said that, they should really have made more incisions in the second innings when the pitch was starting to turn, and it didn't seem to me that they got their planning too sort of great, because certainly Lyon has probably turned the ball actually more than any other bowler in the match. Yet he was the least effective because the line he started from was too wide. He needed to go to right-handers. Sorry, it's getting a bit technical now, but he needed to go, when he's bowling to right-handers, go round the wicket, take a pitch ball in line and get it to straighten, which is, you know, as we just said, the straight balls are what did for the Australian batsman. I think that's been more effective for them.
Aside from the first session on day one when Australia got a couple of quick wickets, you had Pakistan dominating pretty much the rest of the test match. And how important was Yunus Khan's century on day one?
The way Pakistan built their innings was just perfect, really, because they set it up. Obviously, people say that Misbah and perhaps Yunus are a little bit slow and a little bit stodgy at wicket, but that was just exactly what was needed. They needed to build a platform for their team. Right. And then they were very lucky that they had Safraz Ahmed came off and played an unbelievable knock, probably the seminal knock in the match.
Right.
But he could play like that because of the way Yunus and Misbah and the other guys have batted at the top of the year. Azhar Ali only made 53, that's still a pretty good innings. That was a pretty vital knock, just because of the fact they blunted the Australian bowlers and made them tired, and they set it up for Safraz to turn the game.
Right. Yunus Khan, coming back to him, do you think the fact that he got dropped from the one-day side inspired him to stick it to the selector, show them that he's still playing good cricket?
Yeah, definitely. He said that he actually contemplated not coming and playing the test matches because of all the kerfuffle around him, but he stuck with it and probably made a good decision, you'd say, bearing in mind he got 100 in eighth innings. Pakistan are really lucky to have him. He's just a fantastic team man more than anything. I think the testimonies to him when he got his 100, both players, unprompted, both players, Michael Clarke and Ahmed Shehzad, both just used the word gentleman to describe him, and Pakistan are definitely very lucky to have him.
Do you think he should be redrafted into Pakistan's one day team? Do you think he should be playing at the World Cup next year?
That's a whole other debate. it's difficult to say, really, because it's a tough one to answer. They've got some good young one day players who might be better suited, like Sohib Maksud playing currently over the other side of Dubai Sports in a series against UAE. He looks very talented. There's other guys that maybe it is Yunus is trying to move on, but then the World Cup's only 6 months away, and he's playing like this, so perhaps it's arguments for both sides, really.
Right. Coming to the Australian team, their selection, do you think Alex Doolan, I mean, he scored 100 in Sharjah in the warm-up game, but he was all over the place, wasn't he? And you even mentioned specifically about the way he played the spin bowlers in this particular game. Do you think he might make way for Phil Hughes, who wasn't particularly great against spin bowlers in India last year? Or do you think Glenn Maxwell could come in place of maybe Mitchell Marsh? Do you think there are going to be changes in the Australian team for the second test in Abu Dhabi?
I'd be surprised, actually. I don't think they'd dispense with Doolan just because, I mean, Michael Clarke made as many runs as Alex Doolan did in this test match, and he's one of the great players of spin bowling. Alex Doolan has got more runs on this tour than Michael Clarke has, so I'd be surprised if they dispense with him, especially because, as you said, the other option is Phil Hughes, who, although he got 60 in the practice game, doesn't necessarily present a guaranteed improvement on Doolan in terms of playing against the slow bowlers. Other than that, yeah, possibly Maxwell for Mitch Marsh, who just because it gives them a little bit of, obviously it's a hackneyed word to use about Glenn Maxwell, but he does provide a little bit of X factor, and he's had a lot of success in UA conditions in other formats this year already, so bearing in mind they need to go out and win the game, he might be a good option for them at number 6.
Cool. What are your predictions for the Abu Dhabi game, Paul? Do you think Pakistan could win their first test series over Australia in 20 years? Or do you think Australia can finally win a test in Asia since 2011?
Well, it's going to take a massive jump for Australia to turn around their game from here to there in such a short space of time, because obviously the game starts later this week. And you'd assume that Pakistan will have asked for the flattest pitch in the history of the universe so that they can just not lose the game because of the two test series. They're already Dormy one. All they need is a draw, and usually you can rely on a friendly pitch like that if they really need it in Abu Dhabi. So it's going to be very difficult for Australia to force a win there.
Right, so I guess more attritional cricket coming our way then.
Yeah, switch off. Watch it on Cricket Info Scorecard.
Thanks for joining us, Paul. That's all we have time for in this edition of Drinks Break. Paul Radley is a staff writer on the national newspaper's sports desk. This episode was edited by Deepthi Unnikrishnan and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. You can follow our sports coverage on Twitter at SPRT National UAE, at Paul Radley as well, and follow our multimedia coverage at NSV UAE. I'm Chitrabhanu Kadlail.